Hey, Keurig coffee drinkers. Need a cold coffee with a bold flavor? Dunkin' Cold K-Cup pods were specially crafted for cold coffee. Brew over ice straight out of the Keurig coffee maker for smooth, delicious Dunkin' taste you know and love. Find your next Dunkin' Cold coffee in the roasted coffee aisle.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Welcome to Killing Time, hosted by two girls, one goth. How are we doing today, guys?
Feeling good.
We are doing great because this is a very gothy episode.
It's very gothy. I know. Billy was very excited when he kind of like found the theme of what it was going to be today. Mm-hmm. So I think everybody is going to be in for a little bit of a treat.
Yes.
It's going to be very fun. I'm personally still reeling from a four-day hangover from my birthday. How about you, Alexis?
I felt really bad when we got back, and my voice still hasn't fully recovered yet.
Yeah.
More gruff than usual.
Same here.
But yeah, that was a weekend. I probably drank 10 bottles of wine by myself.
I know. I do need to give a shout out to the amazing place that we stayed at, The Joy in Salem, Oregon. It was this beautiful house that was on a vineyard. We had so much fun. We drank all their wine. Lytle Barnett has like the best sparkling wine I've ever had in my life. We had just a time.
We had a time.
And Jared's like, I'm never drinking wine again. And I had a glass of wine last night. So
I will have wine right now.
I know. I never get sick of it.
No.
Billy, do you ever drink wine?
I'll drink white wine. I'm allergic to red wine.
Oh yes. I knew that.
Yes,
oh, I
would love to see and everything. It's the absolute worst thing for me. Yeah.
Number one.
Yeah. But I do. I enjoy it. I like the presentation of it. I like the pomposity of it. I like all that, but it's just it's not my thing. But a nice white wine, a nice crisp, dry, ripe wine.
Oh, yes. Get in there.
A nice, but yeah, but I know it's just like red wine is so gothy too, and I can't drink red wine.
I know.
I've seen him at an Aperol Spritz, so I know he's down for a sparkling wine.
I will do an Aperol Spritz, yeah. And I'm drinking Coors Banquet beer right now, which is probably the least gothy thing. Although Banquet seems like a goth
type
of
thing. I don't fuck with Coors. I got shunned once because someone thought I ordered a Coors when I didn't.
Yes.
And I'm traumatized by Coors Light.
I love a Coors Light.
This is Coors Banquet beer. This is the original, the Banquet beer.
I told the story. I went to a fancy brewery and I ordered an orange wine, but I had a mask on and they thought I said Coors Light. And they're like, you're in the wrong place. And I was like, it was the most pretentious thing. I was like, I said orange wine. It's on your menu. He's like, oh my God, I'm so sorry.
Living a highbrow, lowbrow life. That's all, you know.
That's what you have to do. Honestly, that's the only way we can live, guys.
It's all about balance. Do we have any housekeeping today?
Other than to join our Patreon because the content's getting better and better? No.
The content is getting better and better. Oh, you know what we should talk about is, I don't know if you have it on you, but the number that we have made for all of our listeners to call in, they're on the stands because we have gotten so, so many people talking about it that we thought we would make an extra Patreon episode about all of your on the stands and you can tell us why you feel so strongly about them and we can kind of let you know our opinion. Do you have that number on you, Lex?
Oh, it's interesting. I do happen to have it.
Oh, do you?
Right in front of me. So the number to call, I know we promised vanity numbers. We're working on it.
I tried. Anytime we have a number, by the way, I try to figure out if it could be a vanity number. It was almost ghost, but we couldn't.
Oh,
really?
I know.
Listen, we'll change them at some point once the workload levels off. I mean, it's just not a priority for me at the moment.
That's okay.
But I looked through the numbers, and this was the easiest one I could find. 818-446-6889.
That call is, us. Oh, yes.
Oh, that was going to repeat.
818. One more time.
And we're going to start putting them in the show notes, so you'll have both numbers. But it's 818-446-6889. You're going to start telling us what you're prosecuting or defending to our faces. And we want to come to a conclusion, right, in real time.
That's right.
I can't wait to see what people are pissed about for the most part.
Yeah. Honestly, such trivial things sometimes, but in a good way. Like, it's very Seinfeld, like the minutia of life. Like,
And that's exactly what, you know what, I'm warming up a little bit to On the Stand, because On the Stand very much is Seinfeld. Seinfeld has given us so much joy and gotten me so much out of darkness. And it originally started with, like, the price of gum at a bodega. That's originally how the thing started.
So I know.
It's like, that is really what On the Stand is. So, ladies, I know I've given On the Stand a lot of guff, but
I can't
it's
believe
our most
this is
popular segment.
He's been forced to like it.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. I love that. I'm so glad for you, Billy. Well, what day is it today?
All right, today's dark day, May 26th in 1897. Let's go goth, because Dracula was published.
Wow.
Now, Dracula is a novel by Bram Stoker. It's published in 1897, and it's a narrative. It's related through, like, letters and diaries. It was really kind of transformative for the time period. And he actually had 100 pages of notes that was all about Transylvanian folklore and history. And, you know, what happens in the novel is that a dude goes on a business trip, as you do, to stay at a castle. He meets Count Dracula. And then he discovers that Count Dracula is a vampire. And then the Count moves to England and then starts messing around with the seaside town of Whitby. And then a small group led by Van Helsing hunts Dracula down and in the end kills him. Now, there is a lot of controversy over who was the inspiration for Dracula. And a lot of people point to two very famous vampire adjacent type people, which is Vlad the Impaler and the Countess Elizabeth Bathory. And we are going to be talking about those two, as well as other people in True Crime Rewind. But we are also going to get into some vampire stuff in True Crime in real time. So I'm just going to segue into that.
Oh, yes.
You want to do that? Yeah.
Modern day vampire stuff. Here for it.
Yes. So there is actually a New Orleans Vampire Association, because if you're in
I want to join, frankly.
Yeah.
I want in on those mixers. Like, I want to go, the people watching, the like story swapping, the hobbies. Like, I want to know all about what they're doing.
Okay, the New Orleans Vampire Association, it has a website that I'm going to go to right now.
Where do you think I got the definition of what a true modern day vampire is?
Oh, the website kind of looks a little janky. It's okay.
It's a little janky.
They're antiquated. They're vampires. They go,
they don't care.
They don't even operate during business hours. There is no such thing as time.
They don't operate during business hours. Like, they can't hire a web designer because they're like working at night.
That's true. Okay.
So they define vampirism. And remember, like, if there's any city really in the world other than, you know, like Transylvania as a country that is about vampires, it is New Orleans.
Yeah.
And a lot of that has to do with Anne Rice and all the vampire books. But they define vampirism as a physiological condition where the person who has it is lacking the ability to create specific energies needed to get through daily events, like getting up out of bed, getting dressed, and going to work.
Hard.
I know. That just sounds like a person in 2022.
Yes. Now, there are different types of vampires. Some drink blood, and some are harder to describe.
Ooh, what does that
mean?
What
kind of vampire am I? Wait. If we're all our own vampire, right? Where do we suck our energy from? Like, what is it?
I was going to say Billy sucks the energy out of Alexis.
That is true.
You know what? Yes.
What do I pull energy from? Maybe wine, frankly. Like, I was energized all weekend. Wine, sparkling Aperol spritz. Like,
honestly, the bars in Vegas, she definitely pulled a lot of energy from.
Honestly,
yeah.
I love to party. I'm learning that. Like, I can go, if there's a party, like, I can rally. I think I just love.
Same.
I love to party. And I love social interaction. I think of all of us, I'm the most extroverted.
Yeah.
And I love people. I love to entertain. I love meeting new people. Like, I think I'm like a social vampire.
But not like in a bad way, because usually if you're a vampire, you're like sucking it out of something else.
Mm-hmm.
But you're also injecting your like energy into the party.
Yes.
As well.
Now, what about Jack, though? Jack, what are you sucking the energy out of?
Jared, maybe?
Yes, a Jared vampire.
I have like my own personal victim with me all of the time that I can
you
do, just
you
like,
have a ginger that you can easily like
honestly,
turn to
though,
and be
it's
like
all about,
a soulless ginger. Yeah.
It's all about perspective though, because the right romantic partner is meant to energize you. I don't even think he'd be offended to hear this. He'd be like, I'm glad to give you this lifeblood. Let's bring this energy up. And Jared would like be a Hufflepuff, you know, happy to sacrifice his, even if it drained him, he'd do it.
Absolutely. No, that's exactly what it is.
He would love to.
Yeah, that's what I need. I just need him with me all the time. Just anytime I need like a little suck of energy, like he's right there.
Yep, little hit.
A little hit. Love little, it.
He's like your vape.
My vampire vape. Anyways, yeah. Billy, yes. I'm glad that we figured this out for ourselves.
We did figure this out.
Everyone in the Facebook group, what are yours?
Yeah.
What are you? Yes. What we want to know what you suck the energy
we'll
out.
We'll start a master post because I would love to see what's keeping everyone going. Because you know it's weird times, and we all need a suckle off something to stay.
And by the way,
it's your vice. You know,
concerning the Facebook group, we know that like the hardcore fans listen to Killing Time. I looked at the Facebook group analytics for the first time ever. The fact that we've got 12,500 Facebook fans and 11,000 of you interacted with a piece of content over the past 30 days is, let me tell you something from someone that was a digital executive, is freaking insane. So thank you so much. There's 50 posts per day that are up and people are interacting and commenting. It's nuts.
I just can't believe you've been so active in this Facebook group.
You know what?
Are you even in the Facebook group, Billy? I feel like every time somebody tries to tag you, it's like shows that little X that he's not in there.
Jack, you're the one who's got like 10,000 fake Facebook profiles. So when people try to tag you, they don't know which one is the real you.
But I'm the only Jack in the Facebook group. They're just trying to tag all these people that tried to like cosplay me 10 years ago.
You're
elusive. God. I'm totally going to cosplay Jack. Can we do that?
Yeah, you should.
I'm doing that at Warped Tour this
You need
this,
to wear a bodysuit or a crop top. Otherwise, it's not going to work.
Oh,
cosplay old me. That's the
I'm gonna
no fun
the,
in doing
I'm gonna have the cupcake. It's gonna be great.
So
the case that I was talking about, so there was a musician who it's a horrible story, who brutally bludgeoned an 18-year-old girl in England named Bobby Ann McLeod with a claw hammer. He was obsessed, and this is the thing that we try to stop in true crime. He was obsessed with serial killers like Bundy, and they went through all of his Google searches, and he had done a ton of Google searches about serial killers. Now, without the serial killers, would he have killed somebody? Probably, because he was so fucked up. But, you know, this is one of the things that happens. And you look at his pictures, a freaking good-looking guy, but he was just so fucked up. He did searches for Ted Bundy, Joseph DeAngelo, the Golden State serial killer, Andrew Ticatillo, who is the Russian Reaper, Fred West, Tommy Lynn Sells, you know, a lot of them. But he also did a search for the vampire of Sacramento. And that is one of the things that we're going to be talking about in True Crime Rewind, are these killers, and we're not glorifying them, but these killers that think they're vampires, but they're not. And anyway, so that's what we're going to do in True Crime Rewind. Look at they're actually here.
There's velvet wallpaper. It's a weird.
No, there's a, like look at the ceiling. If you look up at the ceiling, it's all gold right there. It's not.
What is that weird floating closet behind? It's just like a whole thing. Is that where you
sleep?
Is that your coffin for night? Is that your coffin for daytime?
Do you know that there's it's almost like a sleeper car on the other side of this room that has like a small mattress in it where I do take naps sometimes because it's so cool in this room.
That is
like,
so
literally cool.
Weird.
It sounds like it smells.
We've also been to your house and you've never said that. I think you might be lying.
It's his panic room. He doesn't want to show anybody.
I don't tell you guys things. What if you guys are going to figure out to attack me?
Yeah, that's true.
Like, you know what? We need to kill Billy.
We're too apathetic.
We don't have the energy for that.
I don't want to drive that far, you know.
It's exactly.
In traffic.
Wait
like
a minute,
it's not
half,
worth
it's,
it for
it's
me.
It's halfway through the halfway to the valley.
No, yeah, you're in the valley. That. It's not worth it for me. All right. Well, we're going to talk about vampires later in the show again. Yeah. You know, vampire theme. But until then, we have got some bitching to do.
Please rise. Court is now in session.
All rise.
Call the first witness.
How do you plead, guilty or not guilty?
Okay, welcome to On the Stand. We're each bringing person, place, thing, or idea to the stand, either prosecuting it or defending it. stating our case. We vote if it's guilty or not guilty. And then we bring it to you, all of our lovely listeners, on Instagram. So, Billy, you said that you had one.
I do.
Rip and raring, ready to go. You go first.
I'm going first, and I'm putting on the stand, releasing shows weekly on streamers as opposed to releasing them all at once. Okay. And I love the anticipation. I love the fact that if you have an 8-episode series, you're releasing it once per week. And everybody gets pissed at that because everybody wants to binge it. But it's the way that I grew up. It's the way that everybody should be. It builds up anticipation. It builds up people talking about it. That's what I'm putting on the stand. Releasing episodes all at once. I'm saying that's guilty. It shouldn't happen.
Okay. I will agree with this because, as an example, recently Severance came out and I was trying to like get everybody to watch Severance because it was so fucking good. And by the time anybody started watching it, we were all at different parts of the show that we couldn't really talk about it until everybody was finished with it. I love the idea of a weekly release of a show. That's how Lost, my favorite show, was. And people were so into it, going on forums, looking at conspiracy theories, yes, chatting about like what they thought was going on. I think it builds so much better of a community around a show. And you're really able to like dive into it and, you know, get your thoughts and your, like, I don't know, get everything out. I think it's a great way to watch a show. So I wish that more shows would actually come out with weekly episodes. What about you, Lex?
I'm so conflicted because I listened to a podcast that talks about happiness and all the psychologists that study happiness. And the key to happiness, apparently, is delayed gratification.
Yeah.
So I talk about this a lot because then I started reading about it once I heard that podcast. I was like, that's fascinating. And it's true. That being said, though, I like with having ADD so severely, I will start a show and not finish it. In a timely way where, you know, like the positive aspect of that, Jack, that you referenced, I still would be behind because I would be like, hey, got a new show.
Yeah.
So I can sometimes binge a whole show in one day because I'm like got the focus for it that day and I whatever. So I'm conflicted, but I'm going to go with the science because delayed gratification is the key to happiness, according to 9 out of 10 doctors. So wait, were you defending? Right.
I was actually putting them because I was being the evil judge where I was putting on trial, putting them all at once. And I'm saying that's
guilty. He's prosecuting a bingeable show.
That's guilty. Bingeable show.
And I like another part of that, too. It just makes these amazing TV shows kind of feel like a flash in the pan. Like, even if you think about Squid Game, which was like the most watched show and one of the best TV shows I've ever seen, it was kind of like the most talked about thing for like a week. And then it was over because it was 6 episodes. Everybody finished it in a day or two.
Exactly.
Imagine if Squid Game came out weekly and you watched that first fucking episode and it was one of the most shocking, insane things you've ever seen in your entire life. And you had to wait a full week and you got to talk about it with all of your friends and like wonder what's going to happen next. Like, I think that anticipation would have been so phenomenal for especially that show in particular.
Yeah. Storytelling should be social, and it was built in like that. It was built in to be, you know, that's what they call about water cooler shows and everything.
Yeah.
And it's the fact that, and I think, you know, and Netflix is the one that introduced this, and I think they're learning and they are going to, you know, as Netflix goes through their stuff, they are learning to say like, you know what, maybe this is something that we need to do, because I think a lot of people were just like, all right, you know what, I watched that and that's it. And then they don't go on, then they might not go on Netflix. It brings you, it makes sense from a business perspective too, because it brings you back to the platform every week.
You're right.
It might not work with Netflix. Trust me, they've done the market research. You know, they're not doing it blindly. That might not work for Netflix.
But they have started doing, especially with like the Circle and the Ultimatum and stuff, they've put it into 2-week blocks. They had all the episodes, but they're like episodes 1 through 6, then 7 through 10 or whatever.
Yeah.
But you're right. Like, I mean, it just keeps people talking for longer.
Yeah, that's what you got to do. And that's how you get forums. You get people. So guilty. Yeah. Boom.
I agree. Guilty. I'll go next. Okay. This week I'm putting a word on the stand, and the word is moist. Alexis, were you there with us when we were talking about moist this weekend?
Yeah.
Okay. So we had a whole discussion about moist and if people thought it was gross, why that they thought it was gross. I think it is the most disgusting word in the human language. What were your thoughts about moist, Alexis?
Well, I think explicitly I said, yeah, because moisture causes mildew.
Yeah.
And that's, and I feel like we've talked about this before, but let's definitely put our flag in a decision right now. I don't have a problem with moist. I have a problem with what moisture truly does, which is cause mold and black mold sometimes.
Okay.
And an untreated moisture, any host of problems could arise, whether that's personal hygiene, whether that's curtains, whether that's in Miami humidity without AC. Moisture is like rot, you know? And I see all sorts of issues for it. I agree. Let's get rid of the word.
The reason why I hate moist has nothing to do with that. The reason why I don't like the word moist is it reminds me of like bodily fluids. I hate bodily fluids. I think they're disgusting. And that's like the connotation that
all
I have.
All of them?
Yes.
Like I don't spit? Like,
spit is might be the worst. I would prefer some of the grosser ones over, like, I have a weird aversion to spit, especially spit on skin. Like, I think it is so fucking disgusting. I don't... Bleh. It might be a little bit of a phobia.
What happened to you? I got to talk to your parents.
I don't know. It like, it grosses me out in like ungodly ways, but spit is moist.
Sure.
But I looked at a article about why people hate the word moist, and a lot of people thought it was because of the way that it sounds, but then they compared it to like hoist, or I don't know what another word is. And obviously that choiced? Doesn't have the choiced. Doesn't have the same like visceral reaction as moist does for people. So I
hoist,
think it,
hoist.
Yes. So that is why I hate the word moist. I think it's disgusting. It reminds me of like yucky things going on in a body. Mm-hmm. What do you think, Billy?
You know, I think this is a generational thing because the word moist was introduced to my generation, the Gen X generation, on commercials for cake.
Yes.
Now, Back in the, you know, like early 80s, if your mother made a cake, it was freaking amazing. It was like, you know, it's just like, oh my God, she made a cake. So there was Duncan Hines and there was Betty Crocker. There would be commercials, and the commercials were all about how moist the cake was. Mm. So Betty Crocker had a super moist cake commercial.
Like, what else are you going to call it? Wet cake? That's not good. It's got to be a little wet.
Exactly.
There's no other
and
word
Duncan
for
Hines
a little bit.
Like,
there is no other word.
For a little bit wet.
This is the moistest
unless
cake
you go
ever.
Damp cake. Or dank.
Or like a supple cake.
Dank.
This is the most damp, supple cake you've ever had.
Or saturated. Yes. What do you say about the air when it's
squishy?
Wet?
Squishy?
Like humid cake.
Humid cake. Yeah.
Humid. Yeah. So that's the reason why moist.
Dense might.
No, dense moist cake? Is different that's, than dense.
That's you know, yeah. that, more about like.
That's like a flourless, you know, chocolate yeah. cake or whatever.
That's
this is like a
that's
moist
the,
cake.
That's the physics of the cake.
Yeah. Yes.
So, like, when we would hear that, it was just like, oh, my God. Like, that was like, remember, I grew up in a time when you couldn't get pudding in, like a snack pack. Like, your mother made the freaking pudding. Like, that's
you
the only way you would
pack?
Make pudding. There was no snack packs until, like, 1983 or something like that. Oh. Yeah, so like, you know, like, a moist cake would be like, you'd watch it and go, oh, yeah, that's it. So, whether, okay. you know, obviously, it moved on to weird sexual connotations or whatever, but... For my generation, we have a positive reaction to the word moist.
I have one more pop culture reference that Jack will have disdain for, but I think some listeners will appreciate it. There's a Friends moist reference where Ross makes a Thanksgiving Day leftover sandwich. Mm. And he has this thing where he makes a sandwich where it's a three pieces of bread. The third piece of bread he soaks in gravy and puts it in the middle and calls it a moist maker.
Ew.
It's a sandwich with a moist maker. So it's his turkey sandwich with all the stuffing and the things. And in the middle, it's a gravy-soaked bread. It's a moist maker. And then he brings it to work. It's his favorite meal of the day, of the year, of his life. Someone eats and steals his sandwich and he has a nervous breakdown.
Okay.
So that moist maker sounds delicious to me, but that's the only exception. Because like a gravy-soaked bread sounds fucking great.
That sounds
great. Yeah, it's almost like a French toast before it is toasted.
Imagine if you toasted it.
That is...
And put an egg on it or something, or more turkey. Like the whole thing, this Thanksgiving.
We got to come up with a different name. I can't do the moist maker toast or something like
that. Let's call it turkey toast.
Turkey toast. Okay. We're on to it. We need to copyright this. All right, or something.
So Moist, you're saying guilty.
Moist is guilty.
Guilty.
Not guilty.
I like, Billy, I do like your perspective on that. That was that was very insightful. Yeah,
Jack says this because she's thinking about cookies, and she's like, all right, I'll throw, you know, moist cookie sounds all right.
I love a pastry. Okay. Sure. Go ahead, Lex.
Okay, so this is on the heels of our Portland trip. I am defending something that was mind-blowing to me. We were at a winery, and we wanted like a charcuterie. And you know what they had? A refrigerated vending machine with fine cheeses and meats and crackers. And I was like, holy shit. You could literally do this in anywhere. You could do this at picnics and parks, like Malibu Cafe could do it. Malibu Wines could do it. You could put a vending machine for anything, anywhere. And also, we were in Vegas, Billy. There was a vending machine with huge, delicious pieces of cake that like a local bakery would stock. And it was like a decadent, it was like Instagram worthy cake. It was gorgeous. Yeah. Like it was many colors and layered. And it was like, I want more vending machines. I want to deal with fewer people.
I love this.
You know what? I, Alexis, this is one of the very few times that I 100% agree with you. I love vending machines. I love the fact that there used to be, I think I talked about this on the show before, there was a place called the Automat in New York for my for the baby boomers who used to go, and it was an entire restaurant of vending machines.
I love
that
idea.
And you just go and like buy a sandwich.
It's like a food court.
Like, we should have my mother on. Yeah. And mother's like, you buy a sandwich for 25 cents, and then you go and you go to like the apple, you get an apple pie. It was amazing. It was amazing. It's like, that's the stuff. And then like you, then you bring it all to like a table and then you eat it. Vending machines, I am all about that. Yes.
But listen, I want to say, I'm not, it does not replace like service. It does not replace good service. But at the times, like, things close early, you know? It's like when there's not people around, when people aren't willing to provide like a cheese stand.
Yeah.
Because it just logistically doesn't make a ton of fucking sense. That's not refrigerated. Like, where it makes sense, put a vending machine.
Well, there are like the Sprinkles cupcake vending machines, which I have used after hours because I want a late night cupcake. And it was phenomenal. Like, we need more things like that for just these little delights in life that would make such a big difference.
Do you guys remember when we were staying at the Four Seasons?
I was going to say that.
Yes. Yeah.
Then go ahead. Tell them.
No, we stayed at the Four Seasons and they, I can't remember what brand of wine.
It was Moet.
It was Moet. Champagne.
They had Moet. Yeah. Champagne in a vending machine. Every little bottle was like $30, but like, who cares? We have credit cards now. You could have something in a vending machine for $2,000. Like,
and it, came
it doesn't
with
have to be
spout.
Little cheap things.
It came with a little spout that you put in the little bottle that you drink, so you don't need a glass.
Yeah.
You know, airports do it with like cosmetics and headphones. Just put them everywhere. Put one outside my house for detergent and paper towels. Like, put them everywhere.
I have absolutely bought cosmetics from the vending machine.
What?
No, like when I was like going on a shoot and I didn't have like, I forgot my under eye makeup or whatever like that. And I bought some from that.
No, I love this. Vending machines for everything on every street corner. You never know when you're going to need something.
Love it. Yes, that was great.
Love it. Not guilty.
Yeah, we want to actually, you know what? I want to hear it from everybody in the Facebook group. What are your favorite vending machines in your town? Like, what do you have?
What would you put in one if you could?
And what would you put in one, too? Because we'll work on that. God. The first degree vending machine, I want that. That's on the list.
Mini Aperol Spritzes right for everybody.
Yes.
Okay. Well, this is a
great have to do that. I want to see an illustration of what would be in the first degree vending machine. It'd be Aperol Spritzes.
Owl beanie, owl figurines.
Fedora hats. Or his hats.
Newsboy hats. Crop tops.
Cutwater
cocktails. And then the rest would be alcohol.
Yeah.
Chicken nuggets.
All right.
And chicken nuggets.
Okay. Well, when we come back, it is time for some very spooky, gothy true crime rewind.
When I was growing up, I took French in high school, but I could never get the language to stick. I wanted to be fluent so bad, but it never happened. I just couldn't focus and I couldn't practice enough and it didn't work. But thankfully, there's Rosetta Stone, which is the most trusted language learning program, and it's available on desktop or it can be used as an app on your phone or tablet. Rosetta Stone is different. It immerses you in so many ways, and with its intuitive process, you can pick up any language naturally, first with words, then phrases, and then sentences, and before you know it, boom, conversations. Plus, with Rosetta Stone's True Accent feature, you'll get feedback on how well you're pronouncing words. It's like having a personal trainer for your accent. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, the First Degree listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/first. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/first today. Eat stress-free this spring with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals. Every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from a weekly menu of 35 options and more than 60 add-ons every week. What are you waiting for? Get started today and fuel up for all of your springtime goals. If you don't have time, Factor's ready-to-eat meals are on the table in 2 minutes. So you just get to eliminate the hassle of prepping, cooking, cleaning up. You really just heat and savor the good stuff without all of the stress. You can customize your weekly meals with as much or as little as you need. Plus, you can pause and reschedule your deliveries to suit your lifestyle. Factor is your solution to premium, fast meals without the need for cooking. And they're celebrating Earth Day all month long. So look out for the Earth Month Eats badge on the menu for their lowest carbon footprint meals. I'm so busy, so it's amazing to just have Factor meals in the fridge for whenever I realize that I'm starving and I don't have any time to cook anything. They're amazing, they're healthy, and they keep you fueled all day long. Head to factormeals.com/degree50 and use code degree50 to get 50% off your first month, plus 20% off your next month. That's degree50 at factormeals.com/degree50. 50% off your first box, plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. Hey, there's no reason to feel sad or guilty about the things you aren't using anymore. Whether it was a fancy dress you wore to a gala, expensive heels that only go with one of your outfits, or that crossbody bag from when you were in your music festival era. Somebody out there wants what you don't, and the real world makes it easy to get it to them. When your past becomes their future, everyone wins, especially the planet. For the real world, Earth Month isn't just another month. It's what they do every day. At any given moment, they're finding new homes for over 1 million unique items within their community of 35 plus million people. They're the largest luxury reseller in the world and making a tangible difference towards a more sustainable future for fashion. Resale reduces the amount of fashion waste in landfills, lowers greenhouse gas emissions, and offers an alternative to the cycle of consumption propagated by fast fashion. The RealReal has kept over 37 million items in circulation and out of landfills. This month only, new shoppers get 20% off when they shop on therealreal.com using code FIRST. That's therealreal.com using the code FIRST.
True crime. Yeah, it's rewind time.
Welcome. The True Crime Rewind.
No, you have to go,
I'm Count Chocula, or whatever.
I am Count Chocula. And no. Welcome.
Or just the Count, like from Sesame Street.
No, I'd rather be Count Chocula. To True Crime Rewind, the goth edition, the vampire edition. We're going to talk about a bunch of different people who thought they were vampires. Even before people were talking about vampires. So the first one we're going to talk about is Vlad the Impaler.
Yeah.
Now, Vlad the Impaler, he was from basically Romania. There was a place called Wallachia. Apparently this is where he was from. There were stories about his brutal acts were circulating throughout his lifetime. There were a lot of poems about his deeds of what he would do. One of the ones is that he had two monks that he impaled to assist them to go to heaven. And whenever you're seeing pictures or representations of Vlad the Impaler, it will show a row, you know, sort of a road leading up to a castle. And along the road, there are spikes. And then on the spikes are people's bodies that are like sort of like hung over, you know, they're stabbed in the stomach, but their heads and their feet.
You see that in a lot of messed up movies. Like, I feel like you saw that in Gladiator. Like you see like bodies on stakes leading up to castles all the time to like scare the bejesus out of people.
Also, yes. Before we continue, I just Googled Vlad the Impaler. We must talk about his mustache.
I need to see it. Let me Google myself.
He has quite the gravity-defying mustache that kind of just goes completely horizontal on his face.
This is the most hipster shit I've ever seen.
Yeah,
this is what the guy who told me
he looks like a guy that works at a coffee shop.
You can't get a fucking Coors Light here looks like. This is exactly what he looked like.
He definitely looks like he lives in Silver Lake, oh, wait, for sure.
I'm looking at one. Scroll down a little bit. I'm looking at one where he looks kind of real and kind of hot.
Kind of real.
If you go down to the right, I just did Vlad the Impaler images.
Mm-hmm. Kind of real and kind of
hot. Now we're
going to
get into the who's hotter, him or Rasputin. Like, that's
Are you looking at the guy that's in the costume? The Vlad the Impaler costume that is a real person?
No. I'm not.
Okay, go, Billy.
So there are a lot of stories about him in a lot of different languages. Now, there's a German story now, the invention of movable type. That added to the popularity of stories to Vlad and making them one of his bestsellers.
Sorry, Billy. I texted Jack the picture. He's like gorgeous. He's like if Jared Leto had longer, thicker, more lustrous hair, wore a jeweled headpiece.
Dude, I would let this guy treat me like shit.
Me too. I'd be like, I will be your chambermaid. Like, okay, I will give my career up for anything you say.
I'm going to talk to you about, okay, all right. So there is, you know, they would publish, to enhance sales, these books would have what they called woodcuts, which are what the original kind of illustrations were. People would actually cut into wood and then they would press that into, you know, pages in ink. And if you take a look at the first woodcut, you know, it's him eating at a dinner table with a bunch of these people on the spikes and everything like that.
Oh.
Now, this is from one of the stories about him. Vlad had a copper cauldron built and put a lid made of wood with holes in it on the top. He put the people in the cauldron and put their heads in the holes and fastened them there. Then he filled it with water and set a fire under it and let the people cry their eyes out until they were boiled to death.
Vlad.
And then he invented frightening, terrible, unheard of tortures. So it's just, and then he invented the frightening tortures.
Honestly, it seems contrived.
He ordered that women be impaled.
Sorry, he's trying too hard.
I missed the beginning of this. Is this real or is this a myth?
Oh, people are saying that this is real. You know, listen, it merges together. You know what I mean? But it's just like 500 years ago. What was
but
real?
Vlad existed. Vlad definitely existed in real life. Okay.
Yes.
He liked to watch people cry and boil.
Yeah. He ordered that women be impaled together with their suckling babies on the same stake. The babies fought for their lives at their mother's breasts until they died. Then he had the women's breasts cut off and put the babies inside.
I think we're good
first.
With this. Thank you.
Thus, he had
Billy,
them
you're taking a little too
together.
Far. Honestly, like,
you know
this
what?
Is a true crime light adjacent podcast.
Is it though?
We're getting way too descriptive babies. With baby murder.
Come on, man.
In Romania, though, he's considered a hero. He's considered just somebody that punished criminals. And one of the main poets in Romania, a guy named Mihai Emescanu, wrote about him, they wanted him to come back to life, which I think played into the whole thing of him being a vampire. He said, "You must come, O dread impaler, confound them to your care, split them in two partitions, hear the fools, the rascals there, shove them into two enclosures from the broad daylight and seeing them, then set fire to the prison and the lunatic asylum."
Sounds like vintage propaganda to me. Like, that sounds like he had a PR team working overtime. You can't impale babies and have people say that about you. So he obviously, like, buried that. He had a crisis PR team and he just...
I mean, it's back in the day. We talked about this, like, on last week's episode when people were painting the portraits of, like, Renaissance people. It's just, like, make something up, you know?
Yeah.
Like, what is real? What is fact? Who knows?
Honestly, and who knows what people look like? Because, you know, the queen saw their portrait and was like, fix my nose or
That's
whatever
what I'm
the
saying.
Fuck. Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Vlad, like, did you have this amazing mustache or is this just like something you told somebody to draw?
Better.
Or did you really impale babies or was it something you said to instill fear in people who might invade and take your power? So who knows the truth? The truth is lost as it always is.
Vlad's a catfish.
All right. So we're going. That should be merch. Vlad Impaler is a catfish. All right. So
he's
got a delusional disorder.
Elizabeth Bathory, this is early 1600s, 1602 to 1604, all these rumors spread about her being so awful. Now, she is said to be starting to kill, like, the younger women of a lower class in her neighborhood, basically. You know, the girls were burned with hot tongs. They were placed in frozen water. But the biggest story about her was that she wanted sort of to remain young forever. So the story was is that she would kill young women and then bathe in their blood.
Oh, my gosh.
Mm, yes.
Sounds sort of metallic.
It sounds sort of...
You know how blood, like, tastes or smells?
I don't know. Jack just got an idea, I think. Jack.
No, I'm just thinking about how unsanitary that is for, like, disease spreading. You know, what if she had a little cut?
There were no diseases back then.
There weren't?
I'm kidding.
Oh, yeah. The rats were totally disease spreading.
Was it the Black Plague? I don't know.
Yeah. Bubonic Plague? Yeah.
Yeah. Yikes.
But yes, sounds fucking gross. That was...
And also people bathing in milk. I'm like, really?
Milk sounds at least it's, like... Hydrating. Yeah,
that was not milk that was pasteurized.
Is it? It's literally from the teat of a cow.
I don't know.
You know, it's like I'll have milk and cheese, but like bathing in it, I'm kind of like, seems invasive to the cow.
Yeah. I mean, it is a bodily fluid of a cow.
It's
so
moist
it's
too.
Moist.
All right, and there are a lot of other people that have claimed to be vampires.
We don't have time for that. We might have to do another episode.
Do another episode about that because there are a lot of other people that have used vampirism as an excuse to do their deal. But we will get to them in another episode.
We should do another episode about it because it's pretty fucking fascinating.
Like, look at us. We're riffing in a way we've never riffed before.
Never riffing our way. This really spoke to us. But
we
now
riffed
you know
too
what?
Close to the sun.
You know what's going to happen though. You what? People are going to speak to us about how bad you are. Coming up next.
Dunkin' cold coffee can be brewed at home in your Keurig coffee maker with Dunkin' cold K-Cup pods. Just brew it hot over ice and enjoy flavor that's crafted to serve cold. The home with Dunkin' is where you want to be.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
You are a horrible person.
What's the worst thing you've ever done?
Okay, friends, so no matter what you said or did or confessed to today, every day, when you called and left your message of confession, it's never going to be as bad as Vlad the Impaler
no.
with the mother and child impalings. So I think we're good. I think no matter what, off the bat, you're in great shape. So we're just going to dive right into this. And first, okay, this first one we're doing. So in a recent episode, I think it was maybe even last week or the week before, we talked about the firstie who was babysitting and broke somebody's entire set of precious china and buried it in the backyard.
Yes, mm-hmm. I remember this.
She called back. She
oh my God, amazing. We have an update.
She called back with another story, you know? So you just got to know this is the same person. And I think I asked her to call back. I'm like, but I asked for more information and I still didn't get it. I wanted to know the shoveling. I wanted to know the details, but whatever. Let's listen to her other story because we know she's got good shit and that she can tell a story. So,
mm-hmm. All right, let's go.
Hi guys. I love you guys so much. I was so excited. I was listening and I heard my story on. I was the person who, I was babysitting. I broke somebody's, china. They're fine china. Anyway, when I was 13. So, here's another story. I have so many, but, this is another, you know, it's hard to find ones that aren't like too bad, that there's actually some humor on. But, I was, in a club when I was in my 20s, New York City. My boyfriend was a promoter. So we were in this club. I think it was Cheetah Club. We were in the VIP area and I passed out at the table. Which, like, I was basically known for. You know, everybody else just, like, hung out at night, and I don't know what they did for a living. But I had to go to work at, you know, a normal time and wake up early. So I'd go out to these clubs at night, and I would just have a few drinks, and I would just pass out. Anyway, I woke up. Everybody was gone from the table. They were dancing, whatever. And I look, and I see, like, there's this little gold... looks like a little gold perfume bottle or something. And I'm like, oh my God, this I wonder what this is. I'm going to check it out because, you know, it's, it happens to have fallen out of somebody's jacket, whatever. And I'm going to see if I like it. I'm going to spray it into the air. So thank God I didn't spray it towards me. I sprayed it away from me to, you know, do the little sniff, see if I like it. So it turns out it's tear gas. I guess it's tear gas. I mean, I don't think pepper spray would do this. The entire club was evacuated. It was, this thing went off. You could not, you know, people couldn't breathe. It was a disaster. They thought they'd been attacked. They started evacuating the whole place out. And the club guys said, and my boyfriend was promoter, the club guys were like, yeah, I think one of the other clubs did this to try to ruin our business. And we were like, me and my boyfriend, because I'd already told him, we're like, yeah, God, that's so messed up. And we laughed, and he said that we better take it to our grave. So anyway, you know, that was decades back, so... Anyway, thanks again. I love you guys, and I will keep listening. And, you know, it's too bad they didn't have those espresso martinis back then, because maybe I could have stayed awake. All right. Bye.
Another great story, it prompts so many questions. Like, where did this fucking thing come from? You were set up.
Mm-hmm. That is definitely a setup if it was in like this gorgeous gold perfume bottle. Like that mm-hmm. is fucked up.
Or were you in the haze of a dream? Like you are a woman of my own heart. Like I've in my group chats with my friends, there's definitely photos of me asleep of parties from drinking.
I actually just saw a photo asleep of you
of
asleep
me?
At a party.
Was I in a wig?
You were in, it was definitely a Halloween costume, like when you were trying to be a ghost doll or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, it was a scary doll.
The many years you've done that same costume.
Just twice. But yeah, no, one year I fell asleep. I fall asleep during parties and then I wake up and then I like dance and have fun and then I like take a nap. And
yeah,
you know, we don't do drugs. So it's just like, if you get tired, you sleep. I don't know. Mm-hmm. So, but you're a woman of my heart in that way. I've done it at clubs. Way back in the day, guys. I'm talking like 18, 19. Like now I'm an adult woman.
Totally,
I wouldn't
yeah.
do that. But yeah, I love all of this. And I also think you were set up though. Like who puts tear gas in front of a sleeping woman? You like wake up in the haze of, ooh, this beautiful perfume. Like who knows what you were thinking, frankly.
I mean, and of course, like if there's a perfume bottle, you want to spray it. Like that's just like a reaction that every human has. You got to see what it smells like. We're curious mm-hmm. beings.
It's why during the holidays, they put those people in department stores and like proposition you with perfume, like want to try Macy's new blah blah blah. Want to try
the
like
holidays? That was every
try,
time.
Want to try like Cowboy Mist for your?
Like,
for
yeah,
your...
I do. I know it's gonna smell like
Cowboy
shit, and
Mist.
I still want to try it.
I can't say no.
I can't say no
to a spray bottle. No,
no.
I love that story. Okay, you are not guilty, and you told your boyfriend, so you've
not
already
guilty.
You've relinquished of your sins.
Yes.
On to the next, my friends.
On to the next.
Hello, gals and goth. I wanted to call in and tell you about the worst thing I've ever done. I hope I'm calling the right line. So in high school, I was picked on a lot. I pretty much was a walking advertisement for early 2000s Hot Topic with the fishnets and black lipstick and all that stuff. So you could probably see why I was bullied a little bit. There was a girl who bullied me all the time, and one day she told me to unalive myself. And that was my breaking point. So later in the day, we were in gym class and we were running around the track and I asked the teacher if I could go to the bathroom. So when I got in there, I got in her locker and I took her book bag and her purse and her gym bag and I threw them in a shower and turned the water on. So when gym class was over, I got to watch her and her friends frantically look for all her stuff, and she was very upset, and it was just mayhem, and honestly, I enjoyed it. Later that day, she was walking around asking people if they knew who did that to her stuff, and she came to my table, and of course, we denied it. She told us that everything was ruined, her digital camera, her phone, her books, her homework, everything. I was never suspected. No one ever found out it was me, and I still feel absolutely no guilt to this day for it because bullies get what they deserve. Thank you guys, and you guys have a good one. Thanks. Bye.
I like that when your bully wanted to say something horrific to you, instead of saying, well, maybe this is just a word you used. You said unalive yourself.
That's how
you're paraphrasing, I guess.
Yes.
That is the meanest thing you could ever say to anybody. And it's a really risky thing to say to anyone, especially somebody in high school. People are fragile and you don't know what people's home life situations are. So I don't feel bad for her.
Like, no.
I condone acts of rebellion. And you defended yourself and someone said something horrific to you. And it seems sort of like, listen, let's also point out, her digital camera was separate from her phone. Like, what a novel idea.
Oh my God, imagine that.
Yeah.
But you know, it's like, she was mean and she deserves some karma. And like, it was high school. Guys, don't retaliate against your adult bullies. You know, there's ways through that. But like, as far as this being the worst thing you ever did, I think she's worse than you.
Well, yeah. And it's like, you know, we don't condone like a vigilante justice sort of a situation. However, it's like the bully also can't think that she's going to go and do whatever the fuck that she wants with no consequences. Like, she's going to get what's coming to her at some point, whether it was you or somebody else. So you were just doing what anybody else was doing. It was a victimless crime. You didn't hurt anybody. So honestly, like, kind of love it.
Yeah, I'm 100% here for it.
Here for it. All right. Mm-hmm. Well, I think that's all we have time for today. Mm-hmm. All we have left is the Costanza of the night.
Right. And I'm going to channel that I can do this and not botch it.
Okay.
It's just hard when the cadence of each poem is different, you know, but we're going to start. And this one is called George's Thought Process in a Day.
Okay.
Chaos is what George's life does require. Each morning he wonders, what today will transpire? Will I be a cheat or will I be a liar? Ooh. By stealing, what things can I freely acquire? Should I destroy things you love? Should I start a fire? If I get caught, will I feign that I'm a crier?
Oh.
A lie to police make my life seem quite dire. I'll pretend to be rich with some fancy attire. I'll scam the wealthy like the Yankees umpire. And if caught, I'll escape. It'll be down to the wire. Like a goblin, I'll hide in a remote quagmire.
Oh my God, wow.
I'll disappear like a myth, be a Costanza vampire.
Wow. Did you look up like rhymezone.com to find quagmire?
What the first of all, no one knows what quagmire means. It's a marshy bog. Did you know that? I thought it was like a conundrum. Yeah, of course.
I mean,
Billy,
it is. It's both.
You know, it's used now for that. I said it, but it's a marshy bog.
It's used for both. No, it's used for both.
Yeah. Not according to the dictionary.
How did they assign those two meanings to that word?
Well, it's because it's like a quagmire is like if you get like, oh, this is a rough thing to figure out. If you're in a marshy bog,
I think the poem marks the end of this episode. So we will do this off air. Bye, everyone.
Goodbye.
Hey, Keurig coffee drinkers. Did you know that the bold, smooth taste of Dunkin' cold coffee can be brewed in your Keurig coffee maker and enjoyed at home? Dunkin's cold K-Cup pods were crafted to be brewed hot and enjoyed cold. And of course, they're packed with the Dunkin' flavor you crave. Brew over ice and sip in seconds. Because the home with Dunkin' is where you want to be.